You're about to hear a digitized message from the Lutheran Hour. All rights on the program and its copyrighted content are reserved by the International Lutheran Layman's League. Permission was granted for Concordia Theological Seminary to digitize this message. For more information on the Lutheran Hour, or for questions about special uses of this material, go to lhm.org or call 1-800-876-9880.
Everybody is getting a lawyer, and everybody is going to court, and everybody is suing everybody else. This is the main message of more and more recent magazine and news articles. Concerned journalists are trying to explain the recent explosion of litigation in the courts. In fact, in one Canadian magazine, editors have now added a separate section giving the latest report on who is suing whom. It's sort of like the weather report or the stock market. One law expert recently stated, "We are now becoming a suing society where everybody is suing everybody else." And according to several legal and social experts interviewed by the magazine U.S. News and World Report, this new trend where everybody is suing everybody else is very unhealthy for society. Now, no one is saying that the courts are inherently bad, and neither is anybody claiming that laws are inherently evil. But when every little frustration or injustice or inconvenience in life ends up in the court system, then the situation is serious. At the University of Michigan, one student sued the university because of the mental anguish he allegedly went through after he received a D instead of a C in his German course. One young man from California sued because he claimed that his date for the evening stood him up. He wanted his $38 back that he claimed it cost him to spruce up and to drive to see the young lady. One prisoner who was ordered to serve extra time as a penalty for escaping from a Pennsylvania jail tried to sue the sheriff and two other guards, who he claimed permitted his escape the first time. One 9-year-old girl tried to sue the Cracker Jack company because the box of caramel popcorn did not contain a prize. Now, some of these examples are indeed absurd, and even a bit stupid, you might say. But the fact is, they do represent an even greater problem in our society. Simple ethics and common sense morality has deteriorated. And so now, as a result of weak morality, there is a movement in society to correct all of our problems and frustrations by using the law and the courts and lawsuits and lawyers and endless litigation. Alexander Solzhenitsyn, the exile from the communistic Soviet Union, speaking to the graduates of Harvard University in 1978, raised a warning to our society. Solzhenitsyn pointed out that having himself been a political prisoner, he was well aware from first-hand experience of the tyranny of living in an atheistically oriented country where there is little sense of law. However, Solzhenitsyn warned, he would sooner live there than in a society where everything is controlled by the law, a situation where we in the United States seem now to be heading. This misuse, this overuse, and this abuse of the law in government threatens the liberty of a civil society. But a similar thing, yes, a similar thing can happen in religion. And this may surprise you, but it is true. A similar thing can happen in religion because, you see, the misunderstanding of the role of religious law in religion destroys the genuine character of the true faith as taught in the Bible. Real Christians are not those who for their salvation try to follow all the rules and laws of the Bible. True Christians are those who follow Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Jesus Christ was sent by God the Father to live a perfect life. And by living this perfect life, Jesus fulfilled all the requirements of the law. When Jesus fulfilled these requirements, he was doing it for you and me, and he was doing something that you and I could never do. We may try to live a good life, and we may try to follow the Ten Commandments with great sincerity, but you know as well as I do that we stumble and we fail often. And so then, when we look at the comparison between civil law and the laws of religion, we first see that when civil law is overused and misused in society, when courtroom litigation is increased, this strangles government, distorts liberties and freedoms, and crushes the people. Likewise, when religious laws and religious rules began to be the center of our spiritual life, this also kills the true character of the liberating Christian faith. And then, sad to say, our religion becomes not a joy, but a terrible, terrible slavery. For example, when you and I get up each morning, God does not want us to live under the law of religious slavery. God does not want us to constantly think, what am I going to do today? How must I live my life today in order to please Him in every little way? No man can ever please God by living his life under the law of religion. You and I can please God in only one way, by faith in Jesus Christ. In the Bible, in the book of Hebrews, we read, and without faith, it is impossible to please God. And so then, when you and I live by faith in Jesus Christ, we are no longer burdened with the agonizing question of how will God treat us on the day of judgment. When you and I live by faith in Jesus Christ, instead of by the laws of religion, we need not fear how we will appear to God on that day when each person is judged according to what he has done in life. All people who live by faith in Jesus Christ, instead of by the many laws of religion, can live every day with a blessed assurance that on the final day of judgment, believers in Jesus will be covered not with their own filth, not with their own condemning sins as stipulated by the law, and not with their own vain self-righteousness. No! Instead, on the day of judgment, believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, liberated by the blessed Savior's atoning death and Easter resurrection, will stand in victory and joy, and with great confidence before the God Almighty, clothed in the perfect righteousness of the blessed Savior. The Apostle Paul explains this joy of those who live not by the law of religion, but by faith in Jesus Christ, when he says in Romans chapter 8, "There is, therefore, now no condemnation of those who are in Christ Jesus. Christ Jesus has set you free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, weak as it was through the flesh, God did. God the Father sent his own Son into the world in the likeness of sinful flesh, and as an offering for sin, God condemned sin in the flesh, in order that the requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us." And so then, we who now believe and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, we no longer walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. This is what the Bible teaches. And what then, my friend, is the result of all of this? The Apostle Paul further explains, "For all who are being led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God." The Bible states that they have not received a spirit of slavery, of living under the law, leading to fear again, but they have received a spirit of adoption as sons of God. Oh, sad to say, sometimes those who should be proclaiming this glorious and hope-giving gospel of liberty, this good news of freedom from the captivity of sin and guilt, those who should be proclaiming the gospel of the cross of Christ, those who from their pulpits should be lifting up their parishioners with the gospel, are too often beating them down with the law. Newsweek magazine recently interviewed one theologian who did a study on what is being preached today in many of our churches. This theologian then visited with a large number of parishioners to see how they felt about the messages that they were hearing from the pulpit. Over 60% of the people who heard the sermons were discouraged. They were, according to the report, and I quote, "laden with guilt because they could not live up to all the strict behavioral rules." Oh, this is indeed a great tragedy taking place in some of our churches today. The true gospel of Jesus Christ is not being proclaimed for the forgiveness and the joy of the people. The gospel of Jesus Christ is not to be proclaimed in order to drag people down. The gospel of Jesus Christ lifts people up, and it strengthens their faith, and it gives them an eternal hope in Christ. The good news of the gospel was never intended to drag people into discouragement. Speaking of the coming Messiah centuries ago and foretelling the birth of the Savior, Isaiah the prophet wrote, "The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to bring good news to the afflicted. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to captives and freedom to prisoners, and to proclaim the favorable year of the Lord, and to comfort all those who mourn." And so if you today feel that following your religion is dragging you down instead of lifting you up, if you at this hour feel uncertain of your salvation and unsure of your standing before God, then your troubled heart and your burdened mind needs to hear clearly the words of the loving Savior. Come unto me, Jesus is saying unto you. Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. The blessed Lord Jesus is not some heartless interrogator of sinners. Jesus, your Savior, is not cold and indifferent. Our blessed Savior, our crucified and resurrected Christ, is one who loves you in spite of all your sins and of all your failures. No, my friend, don't dwell on your past sins anymore. And don't spend all your time trying to figure out how you are going to pay God back by following religious rules. Instead, focus your faith only and alone on the Lord Jesus Christ, and then a new life and a new start will come upon you. Your agonizing guilt will then be replaced by the blessed assurance of perfect forgiveness, and your daily discouragement will be replaced by an eternal hope and an everlasting joy. Not long ago, one of the listeners to our program in the Midwest wrote us, and she said, and I'm here using her words, she said, "I am worried about my sins. I am scared," she grieved, "when I see how often I fail in life. I feel so unworthy," she confessed, "to think of going to God." Then at the end of her letter, she asks, "Can one really come to Christ? And can one really find forgiveness and hope?" If you sometimes feel like this lady, frustrated, discouraged, weak, and without hope in life, then your heart also needs to know the true God of the Bible. This Lord of love, this God of grace, is not someone who is going to stack upon your already burdened life an additional load of back-breaking bricks of loveless legalism. Instead, the God of grace speaks to your heart through His living Word and through His uplifting Spirit. God is speaking to you when He says, come now, my friend, and let us reason together. Although your sins are as scarlet, they will be as white as snow. And even though they are red like crimson, they will be like wool." And so then, after having your heart truly comforted by the gospel of God, I pray that you will now be able, along with St. Paul, to confess that you truly know that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but through faith in Christ. And I also pray that this will truly be your confession, so that you may be justified by faith in Christ and not by the works of the law, since the Bible clearly teaches that by the works of the law shall no man be justified. You find this in the Bible, in the book of Galatians, chapter 2, verse 16. And it was also this bold conviction of the Apostle Paul, this absolute divine assurance that he was saved by the grace of God in Christ, which then also enabled him with great joy to confess, "I have been crucified with Christ, and it is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and delivered himself up for me." Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and trust in him. Try no longer and waste your efforts no more in vain and discouraging attempts to follow religious rules. Instead, trust only and alone in the sin-cleansing and life-giving and atoning blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, your Savior. And then with this Christ-centered faith, God the Holy Spirit will then also enable you to say with great confidence and daily joy, "I too have been crucified with Jesus Christ, and my sins have been crucified with him also. Now it is no longer I who live, but Christ now lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and delivered himself up for me. Hallelujah, hallelujah." Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, my friend. Your sins are forgiven, and then you will have a new start, a new beginning, a new life of joy and everlasting hope in Christ. Amen.